This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is News Radio 105.9 WBBM's All Local. Listen and subscribe for Chicago's most up-to-date news each weekday morning and afternoon. Now from the WBBM newsroom, these are the most important news stories from the Chicago area.
First, our top local story here on News Radio WBBM, the head of the Chicago Park District, now the latest top official to be affected by what Mayor Johnson recently called a house cleaning. WBBM political editor Craig Delamore with late details.
For 35 years, Rosa Escareño has served mayors from Eugene Sawyer through the present day, but Mayor Johnson has announced that she has tendered her resignation. In a written statement, the mayor expresses heartfelt gratitude to Escareño as a lifelong public servant and someone who truly believes that public parks should be for the people of Chicago. In her own statement, she said she's accomplished the goals she set for herself at the Parks Department. She was, prior to that job, the respected head of the city's Business Affairs and Consumer Protection Operation. Just recently, the mayor told a public meeting that he regretted not getting rid of holdovers from past administrations sooner. Since then, a few department heads have stepped down. Craig Delamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
By a vote of 26-23, the Chicago City Council has approved Mayor Johnson's controversial plan to borrow $830 million to pay for city infrastructure. The plan to repair and maintain Chicago's streets, sidewalks, and bridges had been blocked from a vote at previous City Council meetings. The Johnson administration made changes to the plan after critics expressed concern it wasn't clear on projects that would be funded by the bonds and that backloaded debt payments could further downgrade the city's credit rating. Chicago police and the Cook County State's Attorney have announced charges against a Chicago man in a killing spree from several years ago. WBBM's Terry Keschner attended a news conference at Chicago Public Safety Headquarters. He joins us now with the anchor desk with the story. Terry.
Yeah, Andy. Investigators say 21-year-old Antonio Reyes shot and killed five people across the city over several months in 2020. Cook County State's Attorney Eileen O'Neill Burke provided details of the shootings.
Another victim's only crime was taking his family to buy a new puppy one afternoon. He was shot and severely wounded in front of his three children. None of these people had ever met Antonio Reyes before, and there's no reason to suspect Antonio Reyes had any reason to target them.
Reyes is also accused in another murder, so that's six in all. He was already in jail on that charge when the five additional charges were filed yesterday. Reyes is also charged with four counts of attempted murder. Garyon Gatewood is the deputy mayor of community safety.
I cannot commend the work of the Chicago Police Department enough. Our entire administration, our entire city is grateful for the work they did to remove a serial killer from the streets.
Live at the anchor desk, Terry Keschner, 105.9 WBBM.
All right, Terry, thank you. Governor Pritzker expressing concern amid the Trump administration's threats to slash the Affordable Care Act expansion.
Governor Pritzker says cutting the Affordable Care Act expansion would be devastating for 770,000 Illinoisans who rely on Medicaid.
If Donald Trump and the Republican Congress eliminate the Medicaid expansion, we will have people who get sick and die because they don't have coverage from that Medicaid expansion.
Pritzker says he has been in discussions with the state's congressional delegation about the recently passed House Republican budget bill, which suggests possible cuts to Medicaid.
Our delegation is well aware of that, and they're working very hard to try to prevent that. They all voted against the budget that the Republicans passed.
He says he also had a productive conversation with House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries to discuss the nearly $1.9 billion in federal funds still owed to the state. Carolina Garibay, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
A federal lawsuit has now been filed over the interrogation, prosecution, and conviction of a Chicago man who went to prison for the 2011 murder of a Chicago police officer.
Alexander Villa was one of three men who claimed they were framed for the murder of Officer Clifton Lewis. He was shot to death during a robbery as he worked a security guard job at a convenience store. All three men were later cleared. One did 10 years. One was locked up for 12 awaiting trial. Villa was locked up for more than a decade. Their lawyers detailed what they called a massive conspiracy of police and prosecutorial misconduct. Brutal interrogations, withholding and fabricating evidence, they contend. Cell phone data showed the men were not at the scene and were not together. That was withheld by prosecutors. Mike Krauser, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Firefighters in McHenry County say a careless driver who busted a fire hose by running over it is just one example of a serious problem.
Last month, a woman from Antioch was accused of driving around a police vehicle with its emergency lights flashing and running over a fire hose in McHenry Township as firefighters were trying to put out a house fire. The hose was damaged beyond repair, and it cost $500 to replace. Deputy Chief Stephen Spraker of the McHenry Township Fire Protection District says he's increasingly seeing careless drivers at emergency scenes.
Fortunately, this time they just hit a hose, but what happens if they would have come around and, you know, one of our guys or gals that work for us was coming across the street, or a police officer, or maybe the resident from the home was walking back. It's just concerning.
Spraker says drivers should never ignore road closures or drive around barricades at emergency scenes. He also urges drivers to slow down when approaching emergency vehicles with their lights flashing. Jim Goodis, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Charges now pending for a person who allegedly pushed a man and woman onto CTA Blue Line tracks during a fight early this morning on Chicago's northwest side. The three were on the train platform at Harlem when an argument turned physical just before 3 a.m. Police say the man and woman, ages 51 and 36, were both pushed onto the tracks by their attacker. Both are now being treated for ankle injuries and are in good condition. A suspect was taken into custody. Time for sports, sponsored by Menards. Good afternoon, 670. The score is Alex Kuhn.
Good afternoon, Andy. At Cubs camp in Mesa, there has been a familiar face around the clubhouse, working with players, and one that hasn't been around the facility in over two decades. It's newest Cubs Hall of Famer, Sammy Sosa, who is just grateful to be back in the flesh with the organization.
I've been out for 21 years, but now I'm back. Bring back memory. I just happy to see everyone, and thank you to Ricky Farmer for bringing me here, and also Jet Holger, the GM, and also Craig Council, which has been great to me.
The Cubs announced today that they have cut their roster from 63 down to 59, and one of the moves included sending outfield prospect Owen Casey, optioning him to AAA Iowa. Casey has been shut down from baseball activities all spring long, dealing with a groin injury coming back from core surgery. The NFLPA pulled all of their players and released the rankings of organizations by how players feel they're treated. The Bears finished near the middle at 14th, but more noteworthy is that they ranked dead last in the league when it came to coaching in 2024. The survey said, quote, the players' most frequent gripes with Matt Eberflus were that they felt he lacked a willingness to listen to the players' leadership council, and he mismanaged the weekly team schedule. And the Bulls are in action tonight as they host the Los Angeles Clippers. They'll do so without the services of Nikola Vucevic, who has been ruled out for the game with calf tightness. Tip-off from the UC is set for 7 o'clock. With sports at 16:46, I'm Alex Kuhn of 670 The Score on News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
A 12th juror selected today in the trial of the man accused of killing several parade goers in a mass shooting in Highland Park more than 2 years ago. Robert Cremo III did not show up for court after skipping afternoon proceedings Monday and yesterday. The court's attention now turns to finding an additional six jurors to serve as alternates. Opening statements in the trial are slated for Monday. A new study links successful breastfeeding to fathers.
The Northwestern University and Lurie Children's Hospital study found that fathers who took two or more weeks of leave were 30% more likely to report their infant being breastfed at 8 weeks compared to those who took less time off. Lead author, Dr. John James Parker, a pediatrician at Lurie and professor at Northwestern University, says fathers play a crucial role in supporting mothers.
We need to step away from the old cliche that it's the mom's job to breastfeed the baby and then it's all on her because there is so much that fathers can do.
Some of the ways dads can support breastfeeding are by making sure mom gets the rest she needs, remembers to eat, and stays hydrated. Mallory Vorbroker, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
By a vote of 26 to 23, the Chicago City Council has approved the mayor's controversial plan to borrow $830 million to repair and maintain Chicago's streets, sidewalks, and bridges.
Attempts to delay or thwart the vote on the infrastructure bond issue were defeated by thin margins, though a move to pass it without debate was pulled back. And Alderman Walter Burnett Jr., the vice mayor, got dramatic during debate in arguing for the $850 million borrowing plan.
Putting off these investments will only cause more in the long term. Potholes will grow bigger, vacant buildings will catch on fire, light poles will fall, and bridges could deteriorate beyond repair.
Downtown Alderman Brendan Riley, who's strongly against the measure, called the argument baloney.
To see the contortions my colleagues are going through to get you all to vote for an irresponsible deal is maddening.
Riley and others say the plan delays paying back the borrowing so long that it's too costly in the future, but the mayor and the backers won the day. Craig Delamore, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
3:33, President Trump held his first cabinet meeting of his second term today. All of the president's confirmed cabinet nominees were in attendance. Guest list also included Elon Musk. He was able to speak to reporters for a moment inside the meeting where he said DOGE has been mandated by the president to ward out waste.
We wish to keep everyone who is doing a job that is essential and doing that job well. But if the job is not essential or they're not doing the job well, they obviously should not be on the public payroll.
Mr. President setting the stage for what could become a dramatic realignment of the federal government. He's already downsized the workforce by laying off probationary employees. And now the administration is turning its attention to career officials with civil service protection. Well, the Supreme Court heard arguments in an Ohio woman's claim that she was denied a promotion and then demoted because she is straight. Marlene Ames says the case could make it easier for people with majority backgrounds to pursue workplace discrimination claims. CBS News chief legal correspondent Jan Crawford.
Her lawyers told us that they knew it was a tough case because Ohio, like 19 other states, as well as the District of Columbia, requires people who are suing for discrimination under federal civil rights law to prove something more, that they were victims of like a pattern of historical discrimination. And that's something that's sometimes hard for non-minority to show.
Ames is asking the justices to revive her civil rights lawsuit against her employer, Ohio's Department of Youth Services, after the lower courts threw it out.
All Local is a production of News Radio 105.9 WBBM, Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station. Please like and subscribe to this podcast on the Odyssey app to continue receiving up-to-date news and information.